Today's scripture reading for our conversation comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, Lake Berean. It's good to be with you again. Actually, this is not a pre-recording, but this is one we have unexpectedly, really, because we were planning on being in person this week.
Right.
This month, right? We were planning on being there. And so we have gotten together on Zoom and put together this conversation for us this Sunday. And we're excited to be able to invite someone who's no longer a guest as well. But before we go and begin this conversation, Pastor Lena, say more about where we are right now.
Yeah.
We did expect to be back.
We really did. In all 100% honesty, I don't know anymore. all I know is that, you know, we're still, you know, invited by God to continue showing up, right? This is, you know, we can't really forsake that. So I just want to take a moment to try to get us all back together on the same page, and I'll try to do this very quickly. We ended right at the end of July. We had gone through a pretty great, what I thought was a great little journey, field trip through the first part of the book of Acts, where we were learning about, you know, God's desire for how, what the church is supposed to be about. We learned a lot about freedom. We learned a lot about risk. We learned a lot about, you know, a church that was not one that was rooted in everybody being the same, but actually that the Holy Spirit, evidence of the Holy Spirit, is this very multicultural, multi-ethnic community. So we were talking about all of that. And then when we went into August, and many of you were able to join us for the evening services that we had out in the parking lot. And we kind of took that conversation about the Holy Spirit and what we had learned and began to ask ourselves the question, what have we learned about ourselves, about God, about the church in this last 18 months? And the name of the series was Lost and Found. What have we lost and what have we found? And those, you know, thank you again to all of those who were willing to share their stories. It was a very rich time of our community together. And as you said, Tally, we were planning on being back on this Sunday on the 5th. But I think what we've learned, a couple of us that were talking and trying to pay attention to what is happening in our lives as the church, is this theme of, you know, uncertainty in this time. And I think we can all agree that we might be growing weary a little bit. Of all of them, just a tiny bit, you know, and making deals about, you know, what we will do and what we won't do, what we can't do. We don't have the energy for that. We're all doing it, right? And so I think this idea of uncertainty, especially in the things that we're uncertain about, and how as people of faith do we navigate, you know, lives that are very uncertain right now and feel like everything is up for grabs. And so that's where we're going to land for the next, you know, several weeks, and trying to, you know, sift out and hear from God and through one another, you know, what is it that that God is teaching us about faith in these uncertain times. So that's where we are today. So welcome everybody to uncertainty.
Right. And you know, join in the conversation as we have been doing in the chat, but also you might want to just text or share someone who's not, you know, you're normally seeing them, you used to see them in the chat box, but you don't. Since we're coming back, go ahead and let someone else know and text them or post and share whatever it is that I don't know what people do to tell people about these services, but you go ahead, you know what you do. Okay. And there is no better person we could think of in all honesty to begin this moment, this conversation about uncertainty. Someone who's no longer a guest, as I was saying before, who is family to Lakeby, the Reverend Dr. Kelly Brown, pastor of Plymouth Congregational Church. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so always so grateful to be here. This is home. So thank you. I'm taking my shoes off and being comfortable with my friends. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. Yeah,
thank you. And our text today is Hebrews 10, 23, 24, and 25. And this particular text is a very interesting one because it is in some ways, it is kind of the encouragement after uncertainty has already set in. Right. So uncertainty is there. There's like, how do we keep this going? How do we maintain our faith? We're not necessarily the best people in the world, but God loves us. Mm-hmm. And here's the exhortation, right? Let us hold fast the confession of our faith. There are times, Pastor Kelly, in our lives, in our walk with Christ, in the church, in the history of the church, where uncertainty has become the norm, mm-hmm. right? I would love to hear from you, Pastor Lena, just what are your initial thoughts about this season we're in, this space, this time, the church? Yeah, what comes to the top of your mind? Don't think about it, just share it.
mm-hmm. You're inviting us both.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm inviting you.
Start us off.
Well, you know, a season of uncertainty, you know, for some of us, it's cellular to be in seasons of uncertainty. For some of us, we don't know what seasons of thriving, seasons of comfortability. We don't have those seasons. So we're Hebrew people, right? That know what it means to be perpetually persecuted, that know what it means that even when things are good, you know, for our lives to be impacted with some things. So honestly, I think if this is true for you, you probably are doing better than expected during this season of uncertainty, because you've gathered some tools and you've been walking with God and in the spirit in ways that are quite familiar. Mm-hmm. So if you are like me and you don't welcome uncertainty, because, you know, who does that? We're not sadistic. However, if that's your path, mm-hmm. I think you you have some knowledge about God that others of us need to have access to.
Wow.
So for me, you know, I lament for the folks who are privileged. I lament for folks who had lots of money in the bank and no longer have it. I'm lamenting people who are worried about what happens when the rent moratorium is over. I'm worried about people who don't have a walk of faith. So they don't know what they're going to do going forward. And I think particularly that's who we're speaking to this morning, that somehow in the chalice, maybe even the crucible of community, which is what was coming out of this text, that's where you might find the Spirit of God. And that's probably where you're going to be encouraged. Because we can't get through this alone.
Yep. I loved what you said, when you started out saying that for some of us, this is cellular, right? I mean, it's in the DNA of some people's lives to actually live, to have learned how to live and survive in uncertain times, right? And so, you know, I don't think I had thought about it that way until you named it that way, but, you know, I would say agree. And I think that the passage has a lot of rich language about community, the assumption that that there's a community, that there is, as I said in my email to Lake Burien, that there is an us, there's an assumption that there's an us that's it and that's operating. And so if you don't function if you don't, you know, kind of traffic in the us, right? Meaning you don't traffic in community, authentic community. You don't traffic in places where you are in solidarity with people. You know, this time becomes even probably more scary. I was with a family earlier who are going through tremendous loss, a death in their family. Mm-hmm. And one of the folks just said, you know, I don't know what we would do if we didn't have community, right? But they have learned how to form that because of the particular, you know, context that they are in family with, you know? And so I agree. I think there's something about uncertainty that drives, that thrives in isolation when mm-hmm. folks are isolated away from each other.
Yeah. You remember you can get through, when you are in, and I won't just say community, but I'll say authentic, healthy community, right? Because sometimes we find ourselves in groups of people that, you know, it may be groups, but not necessarily community. And what you said just reminded me, I had a conversation with Reverend Dr. Linda Smith, who's also, you know, you both know, and is wisdom personified. And she was talking about when she grew up, she was one of 13 in Arkansas, and that often where they were living, they were renting. And, you know, it was always a financial struggle, but it seemed as if the landlords would always put the family out in the wintertime. And so they would have to look for housing and somewhere to be at the worst possible time. So their family collectively struggled with uncertainty all the time. But she also mentioned, because, you know, one of the things I love about folks I hang out to include the two of you is that we don't live in poverty porn or struggle porn, right? So our stories don't stop there. And she said, you know, hey, folks would bring by food, you know, folks would, you know, things would come, they would find places to be. And so, that's the piece that I just am so grateful that you are focusing on, and in many regards prioritizing with Lake Burien, but also for though anyone who listens to this conversation, somehow we have to understand that get thee to the places of healing, get thee to the community, to the people who love you and who know you or don't, the people who are willing to embrace you and bring you in and to remind you that you are enough, that God's is a God of abundance, that you don't have to live in depravity and scarcity and puniness. And though that might be the circumstance when you look in your refrigerator and your cabinets, but somehow in community, you'll find people who are dropping food by, who are checking in on you, folks who are concerned about your well-being. And I don't know what else is going to heal us except for figuring out how to make that kind of community.
Yeah.
If we were to contextualize this for today, many young people went back to school for the first time in person in 18 months. And they may be uncertain. Really, for the first time in their life, it may feel like the structures of society mm-hmm. are not as certain as they were in their young experience. And the text says that we should figure out how to we should consider, for me, that's figure out how to stir up one another. Yeah. What would be something you would say to young people who for the first time are now entering in uncertain spaces in their education, right? The teacher may not be the same teacher. The school may not function the same way that they're used to. They're wearing masks. Some of them are wearing masks throughout. I have a sophomore daughter who has never been to the school that she now attends, right? So this is her first time in her sophomore year at a school she attended her freshman year. We have college students who are going back in the next few weeks. How would you stir them up to love and good works? What would you say to them?
Well, my first inclination is to not sort of fall into these kind of conversations that often come from the church where it's like, you know, everything's going to be all right. Don't worry, be happy, you know, all those things. I don't want to go there first, because I would want to acknowledge that the uncertainty is absolutely what they should be feeling, and to understand where they're coming from and what they're experiencing, and also to suggest to them that it's a normative thing rather than something they should resist, because I think in that we are probably creating the faithful folks that we're going to need in the world, in the community, in the school, in the church, in being honest about embracing the uncertainty and the fear, the not knowing. We're going to be creating some people who aren't going to use church as a joy factory. But who are going to be willing to engage the hard conversations and engage the hard times in a way that I'm not sure we have fostered before. So for young people who are going through this time of, you know, to your child who's going to a school for the first time as a sophomore, missed the whole freshman year, Lord have mercy, besides making a real good lunch or whatever they do these days and kissing their face, you know, with so much profuse love, just to say it's all right for you to do what you must to get through your day. If you are concerned, you know, about your safety, that is real. Do what you must. If it's, you know, I'm not sure what they're doing around masking and all of that, because I've seen some different things around that. But, you know, taking care of yourself and being okay with how you feel and checking in with friends and other folks and, you know, really being a shoulder and to cry on for some people, but also knowing that there will be shoulders for you, and to, you know, just really be honest with what you're feeling and not to resist that. I truly hope that we can be that kind of community. We can be that kind of church that doesn't just say, hey, you know, but, you know, Jesus is just all right. Dance your way through it. No, I think somehow God is welcoming us to honor everything we're feeling. And our young people, I think out of many folks that I engage with, my daughter especially, they're the ones that are showing us how to truly be resilient, yes, but also to live into the angst of this moment in real ways. So with great love for all the young people who will be watching this, I'd say, you know, there's been hard times before, but this is your first time through. And the only way through is through. Mm-hmm. And you have partners in us to go through it with you and to love you and to see you and to say that you are enough. So, you know, God bless us. Mm-hmm. That's where we are.
Yeah. Yep.
As I've been sitting with this passage, it's striking to me that, you know, the word here isn't, you know, it's a call, it's a stand, and a kind of a, you know, a direct kind of, this is how you, in that context, you know, when the church was being persecuted, right? Mm-hmm. This is how you stand. And And it was interesting because the what I read in that was that it's two things. It's you stand and you look to God, and you stand and you look to others to encourage others. Mm-hmm. Right. And I agree with you, Kelly. I think our young people are probably way better than we were ever given the opportunity to sort of, really learn how to reflect on our world. I think that they do that on a regular basis, at least the conversations that I've been involved in. But I also think, I have thought about, what there's something here for us that says, look beyond yourself, like get out of, this selfish gaze, and actually you find your health and your salvation when you engage meaningfully in authentic relationship with others. And that includes encouraging people. It can include just saying, teaching ourselves how to say to one another, you're going to be okay. Right. You are going to be okay because you have within you what you need, and we have within us what God has given to us. But I think sometimes, we entertain conversations where we can, even with Christians, we can walk away and, man, Kelly, this is one of the reasons I was so grateful that you said yes, because I look to you as someone who will speak words of encouragement to me. Right. This is what I have experienced in our relationship and our friendship. And so as I was, wrestling through this practice, I'm like, who are the people that speak, that spurs me on towards love and good deeds? Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think I would say Tally to Lake Burien for sure. And this is, folks, we are going to be challenging each of us to stir one another up towards love and good deeds. But I think our kids lead us in that way. I think they haven't been so jaded that, it's all about self. But I think, Tally, I think of your kids and I think they're very kind people to others.
Right.
And that's part of, how you make it through as you continue to live into the kindness. And I know that sounds, maybe it sounds cliche, maybe it sounds soft, but I think it's a way that we remain more human.
Absolutely.
Right. Right. And in part, the culture that at least my son and I yesterday were talking about is a culture where every day we're seeing someone lose it at an airport.
Yeah.
Someone lose it in a grocery store.
Right.
And at times, social media
can
make that can be comedic, right? It can turn into satire. And instead of empathy and sadness, that someone just lost it publicly.
Uh-huh.
And where does the church position itself in that space where every day you're seeing someone, lose it? Yeah. For whatever political reason, for whatever individual idiosyncratic moments, right, they're having, at some point we all can be in the place where we feel like throwing the chair across the room. Absolutely. Where we feel like, I don't know about my marriage. I don't know where my children are going. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to be able to make it through college. I don't even know if they're going to be able to get in. I don't know if they can find a career in this space.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And even while we as adults have some history, Pastor Kelly, you talked about kind of, we have those stories in our lives that we're pulling on. Mm-hmm. There are people who don't have those stories.
That's true.
Right? Those people. And the kind of, this is, to me, this is, the scripture seems rather radical here. Because the typical movement when one is uncertain is to save yourself.
Yes. Come on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
The admonition is to encourage another.
Yes. That's right. That's right.
I'll be flat out honest, church. I don't know how that equates. I don't know how it works. I don't know what the physics is of that. It seems better to save myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that somehow in encouraging another,
come on,
I somehow make it. I don't get that. Yeah, somebody explain that to me.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is how I think, which is why I was only fit to be a preacher, because I other people would have said, get this have a padded cell. So, but really, I think about things like how the planets spin and magnetic fields. I think about how the moon knows to stay a certain distance away from the Earth. Mm. And I think about the relationship of the planets that are whirling, moving all the time, but we have yet to crash into Venus. We have yet to move into the sun. It is about relationship. Mm. And what happens is American society doesn't understand that.
Come on.
Because they think that you can be individuals just bouncing everywhere and somehow it only matters for you and yours, right? So you have your house and your 2.5 kids and you have your spouse or whatever kind of relationship you're doing. You are able to just sort of be bouncing around in the world by yourself. But nope, uh-uh. It's about relationship. And so I'm grateful that I can look to the planets to say, this is how I'm supposed to be. Because when Reverend Lena and Bishop Tally called me, I'm going to make myself present because I know about relationship. And that's how I'm going to be able to put my feet out of the bed rather than sink down into the depths of anxiety and depression. Because I know when I get there, I'm going to be set on fire. Mm-hmm. And encouraged just by being in the Zoom room with them.
That's right. That's right.
So,
yep. And you're not going to find many places where somebody's going to drop the word ever.
Preach.
Oh, now.
You better preach.
That's how it is. Mm-hmm. But we that's have so a lens that is on our glasses that says, you save yourself. You fend for yourself. You take care of yourself. You know, all these things, the bootstraps and all these other things.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But friends, this is why we are where we are. But God is so providential, and God is such a beautiful force of creation that God is like, okay, you keep doing your thing. You keep on doing your thing, but I'm just going to send whales back to the coast of Portugal and Spain that haven't been there for more than four decades. And I'm going to start bringing back animals that you thought were extinct, but I actually was hiding so that they could continue to thrive and be in the world. God through nature is showing us that all this stuff is relational. Everything that we are is relational. So somehow if we could just convince ourselves, even if we manipulate our and do gymnastics enough for us to trust what God has done by way of being together, we can change all of this. Somehow we just need to say, let's sit down long enough for the virus to do its thing. Mm-hmm. And even through Zoom, we can make better community than we are in person sometimes, because we'll be alive to be in community. Come on, somebody. Yes. I've had too many classmates die. I've had too many people in my family die. I'm just saying, just wear your mask and get a vaccination. God bless us. So then actually let's figure out how to make community. Let's drop those calls. Let's send food. You know, it's like we have neighbors that we're just meeting that are like dropping plums on our door. We don't know these people, but we're longing for each other. That's how Thurman knew it. We're longing for each other. Mm-hmm. So we can figure out even if we're not good at it, even if we're antisocial, even if we, you know, whatever it is, we got to figure out how to be together.
We have to. Yeah. And I think that these little, however many verses that was, three or four, is a treasure chest of, you know, just truth. Like, don't give up being together and encourage one another toward love and good deeds. I mean, it's that simple. And yet we forget because we get so kind of, you know, preoccupied, I guess, with saving ourselves.
Yeah.
And to Tally's point, if there's enough, whatever, after I'm done saving myself, then I will give whatever's left to community. And I'm wondering if this is no, give yourselves in community to one another. and see what comes from there. I think the abundance Amen. Comes from there. And I know people, you know, I know that that's a really hard message for, you know, people in a country and a society that has functioned in the other way or dysfunctioned in the other way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But here we are, and there's still hope with every breath, right?
There definitely is. And as we, I could talk with you all for another half hour, this, you know, and I'm mindful of our time. I just, this moment in this conversation, but also where we are as a community of faith, it just reminds me of that situation where the little girl is on the monkey bars and she's holding on for dear life, yelling, "Someone come help me, I can't hold on." And she's only 3 or 4 feet off the ground, right? Mm-hmm. But to her, it's a huge drop. Mm-hmm. And mothers in the playground start to come, and you know, older teenagers start to run over. And this scripture reminds me of that moment when it says, "Hold fast to the confession of your faith." In other words, mm-hmm. just hold on. Mm-hmm. Right, just hold on. We're coming. The community's coming. But you may have to say to somebody, "I'm hurting." Mm-hmm. You may have to say to someone, "I'm not, I need some community right now." You may have to open your mouth and holler. Right. Mm-hmm. And in the tradition of the Black church, we would actually be hollering right now to help you practice.
That's exactly right. Right.
But we're not going to scare you by hollering on Zoom. What we are going to do is say, this scripture, this moment may require us to be uncomfortable and say, mm-hmm. "Hey, community, I need help. Mm-hmm. I need you to catch me. I'm starting to fall." Uncertain times can produce that feeling that though you're only 3 feet off the ground, it feels a mile away.
Absolutely.
Right. So reach out, right, Pastor Lena? This is what we're here for as a community, to be here and to be responsive to these moments. Pastor Kelly, I know you have a whole congregation of folks who are probably hollering right now. Like, when is this going to end? Someone catch us. We're falling.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we're here, and that's the gift and blessing. Amen. That we are here to mm-hmm. witness, to love, to hold, and thank God.
I think I want to, just before you close this, Tal, I just wanted to note something. You know, we talk an awful lot about in our conversations about people who, you know, are for whatever, you know, all kinds of reasons live at the margins, right? They live, they live disconnected from, you know, from resources, you know, all the things, right? And what I heard Kelly say is that this is why we need them, quote unquote, right? Is because I feel like in that story, yes. in those narratives is salvation. Mm-hmm. Right. I think we can't get into it all now, but I think some of the certainty can come when we are meaningfully proximate and connected to and in relationship with people who have been disconnected and marginalized, right? And so for mm-hmm. folks who live with privilege, who have resources, and who may be feeling an acute sense of uncertainty, some of the places that we find hope and humor, I think that's the other part. I think people, you know, have lived with a certain amount of, you know, that were for whom this is cellular, have found ways to find joy.
Come on now.
Even in the midst of uncertainty, because that has been life. And so that's why we need each other.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm just so grateful for the ministry and meaning that you are spending at Lake B. And I'm grateful to be invited to be a part. And I think I'm going to get off of here as to not scare people, as Tally has suggested, and do my shout by myself. Because I've come through danger seen and unseen. As my grandmother would say, I've been buked and scorned, talked about, show as you are born. But somehow I am here, gratefully a part of a beautiful community. So that's my hope, that folks will know that this is not the end. This is the teaching ground for what God has in store for us.
Praise God. Thank you so much.
Hold on.
Well, we're going to put a comma right there, and hopefully in the future we'll be back to have another conversation with you, the Reverend Dr. Kelly Brown and Pastor Lena. It's so good to be with everyone. We look forward to being together in person, but until we do, God bless you. We love you and stay safe.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you.